In life, how often do we get familiar with stuff? And when we get familiar, we just take things for granted. How's the sun? How's the sun? Every day that thing comes up for us. And yet you take it for granted, I take it for granted. We hardly ever stop and go, guess what? Let's chuck a party. The sun came up. A few of us occasionally will get up to see the sunrise. And when there's eclipse on, which isn't the sunrise, so there's a bit of a party going on. But we take that ball of gas so for granted, hey, because it's familiar to us.
Yeah.
What about parents and partners, siblings and spouses, the people who are the furniture of our life, and they just become familiar to us, and we can start to take them for granted, but they are some of the most important people in our life, yeah?
Yeah.
What about Christmas carols? Christmas carols. Do you get familiar with Christmas carols sometimes?
Yeah.
And just get, I've done Christmas. I've done 46 Christmases so far. That maybe not you, but I have. I think it's 46 coming up. I can't do the math. I think it's 47. And you get familiar with Christmas carols, yeah? And you've been to so many Christmas services and carol services, and you miss, because we're too familiar, the truth of what you're singing. The power of the story of those words. And it's just like, press play, we've done this before and we miss the truth. I actually love that we sang a carol in this morning's service, because the truth of the story is found in the words of the carol. And I find myself worshipping to those songs because I love the truth of those. But we come over familiar and we start taking things for granted. And don't we do that with Christmas? And so it's December 16, and it's got to be a Christmas message. And I hope that we don't take the Christmas story for granted and become over familiar. But I want to challenge us, and I've actually really loved Pastor Chris, and this isn't a plug because he lets me on the platform occasionally. I've actually really loved that he's actually dug into the story and he's found new layers of the story that I haven't thought of before. And the truth of what he's brought out of the story makes me go, I don't want to ever get familiar with this thing, because there's new layers, new story, new dimensions to this thing that you want to find. And so let's take a moment to do that again tonight, because you know why? Because it's too good a story not to. And can I encourage you, this is like, I've got an hour and 5 minutes now to unpack a few stories, a few layers. I won't take that long, but you know what, it's actually on each one of us to make sure we're unpacking the layers of the story for ourselves day by day. You know, you've got 9 more days before the Christmas story and Christmas season is gone. 9 more days, that's ridiculous. And so I want to encourage you, dig into the layers of the story yourself. On the screen is Isaiah 9. And again, maybe a familiar passage for us at this time. But a child is born to us. A son is given to us. And the authority will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be vast authority and endless peace for David's throne and for his kingdom. It's referring to Jesus there, not King David. Establishing and sustaining it with justice and righteousness now and forever. And I've put in brackets there a king and a kingdom. And I want to come back to the king and a kingdom later on. But we're familiar with that phrase, to us a child is born, a son is given. And I just want us to not be familiar with those words, to us. To us, God gave an incredible gift, the gift of his son, Jesus. And if we're not careful, we'll miss the fact that God, King of the universe, creator of everything, gave the gift of his son to us. Now, if that's not a profound statement that we could become over familiar with, I don't know what is. But that's the Christmas story. To us, God gave a gift, the gift of his son. And I want to unpack it this way tonight with Harry and Megan. How good are Harry and Megan? Did you not fall in love with Harry and Megan when they came to Australia? How gorgeous are they? Harry, not so much. But they were just genuinely likable people. Who fell in love with the royals? With the royal visit this year? Go on. Good. Okay, I'm going to move on really quickly with this illustration. Cool. But from what I can tell, my observations are they're just incredibly kind and generous and compassionate. Look how what they've done with the Invictus Games and the care for others. They seem fun and there's a genuineness to it. Now I'm reading all that off television and I could be way off. But they gave that appearance, hey. How about Christmas Day, Harry and Meghan are coming to your place? Imagine that. Yeah, would that be all right? That'd be all right. You would begin a little bit of a mad panic if you just found out tonight. If you just found out that Harry and Meghan are coming now, but if you knew, there would be Facebook posts and Insta, I don't know, and Snapchat stuff going on. You would be posting all sorts of stuff because Harry and Meghan are coming to your place. How cool would that be? Would you get a little bit excited? You'd be mowing the lawn for sure. You would be getting your face and your nails and your hair done, wouldn't you, Pastor Chris? And that's going to take a while. You're going to have a shot at me some other time. And you probably wake up in the next couple of days and you just have this song going through your head. The royals are coming to town. The royals are coming to town. The royals are coming
to town.
Oh, that was rubbish, but that's okay. I went there. You should have come with me. And you know what you're not looking forward to? You're not really looking forward to what gifts are they going to bring you. Although you'd be like, oh, I wonder what they're going to bring. But you're not really after the gift they're going to bring. You are after them. Yeah. You want the gift of Harry and Meghan at your place. But you know what? As cool as that would be, they're human beings. I don't want to pop the royal bubble for you. I'm so sorry. But they eat and they sleep and they use the bathroom just like you and me. And they are born, and without being morbid, they're going to die someday. Sorry, was that a bit morbid? Too harsh? They're human beings. As cool as it would be for royalty to enter my place, really, there is a story that goes way beyond that one. And the Bible, I love the language that the Bible uses to talk about Jesus. And it doesn't use this word, but in the layers of the words that it uses, it says that Jesus is completely other. He is not of this dimension. He is not flesh and blood. He became flesh and blood, but he is the ultimate in extraterrestrial. Have you ever wondered why we love E.T. so much? Because there's something in our hearts that actually longs for something beyond this dimension. Yeah. We want to go and explore the out there, the realms that we've never seen before. And that realm, that out there, that extra dimension, that completely other steps into this dimension and wants to live with you, wants to visit you. The story of Christmas, don't ever get familiar with the story of Christmas. Because it's not just cool that Jesus wants to come and live with you and visit you. It's way beyond cool. Yeah. Harry and Meghan, that's cool. Not Jesus Christ. It's way beyond that. But what if you turned down Harry and Meghan? What if you actually said, sorry, got Christmas lunch with the family? Can't do it. What if we didn't accept the invitation for them to come? And it's a bit like a gift that you just said no thanks to. And I think that's the truth of Jesus Christ for some of us. Some of us sitting here tonight, you know the story I'm talking about. You've been, you've heard this story for years and years and years, but it's like a gift you've never received. You know the truth. You've heard the truth. You even believe the truth. But I want to challenge you tonight, is the truth, is this story your story?
Yeah, that's good.
That unto you a baby was born.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ coming to visit you. And you know the story, but you've never made it your story. And I want to challenge you this Christmas, make it your story.
Yeah.
And it begins with just accepting the story for you. He's talking about you in the story. Unto us a son is given, but unto me, make the story yours. You're part of the story, hey. Do you know the story gets better? Because what if Harry and Megan came and while they were at your place, they noticed the house next door was for sale and they bought it. Harry and Megan are now your neighbours. How cool would that be? How cool would that be to have royalty living next door? Just cheese and dips at the end of the day with the Windsors. How cool would that be? Megan coming to knock on the door and borrow an egg. And maybe you'd get to look after their newborn twins. I just made the twin bit up there. But there's a baby coming, that's all I know. Man, the stories you could tell if Harry and Megan were living next door. How would you live? How would you live? Well, there goes arguments on the front lawn with your family members. Hey, that's out the window. You are best manners. You are perfect face. You are best dressed. You've got your game face on the entire time. You have to mow the lawn every single weekend to make this place look good because the royals are living next door. I've been to Kensington Palace. And when I say I've been to Kensington Palace, I mean I've been to the gates and I've looked into it. I haven't actually been into it, but I've been to Kensington Palace. I've lived there. What if you were the neighbours that live next to Kensington Palace? By the way, that's where Harry and Megan live. At the moment, I just heard yesterday that they're actually going to relocate when the baby comes, but that's a whole nother story. But the neighbours who live next to Kensington Palace, how would you be? What's the value of your land, your property? Just like put it on the market and it's skyrocketing in value because Harry and Meghan just live there. But you know what? What would be cooler than that is somehow the social credit you get from having them as neighbours, your value goes up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because of Harry and Meghan. Christmas is the story of Jesus Christ moving into the neighbourhood and living with people. I love the Message version of John 1:14. The word Jesus became flesh and blood, became humanity like you and me, and moved into the neighbourhood. Moved into the neighbourhood. We saw the glory of God with our own eyes. The one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. Jesus became a baby and moved into the neighbourhood. And God lived with people. God lived with people. And that wasn't the story of the day. Because the gods, they lived at a distance. They lived remote. And you did all that you possibly can to keep the gods happy. You never wanted to tick the gods off. You wanted to appease them. You did everything so that life would go okay. So that curses didn't come your way, or worse still, that the gods came down to teach you a lesson. Jesus Christ is the story of something totally different from the gods of this world, that God came down, became flesh to live among us,
yeah.
Humanity, you and me. It's not just a great story. It actually then begins to transform the way that we do life. And I want to unpack a little bit of that. How would you do life knowing this Christmas story? First of all, we'd receive with gratitude. Haven't you been taught when you receive a gift, no matter what the gift is, you smile and say thank you?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't you do it? And you got it from your auntie and uncle, and it's a cheap $5 crappy gift, and it's going to break just by looking at it. And yet you were taught, receive and say thank you. And then on a bad day, you have to give him a hug and a kiss. Okay? That's not the response that God wants from us. God wants us to know the story, to make this story ours. That when we know that God lives with me, when every waking moment I have, God lives with me and lives within me. When I know that all my rubbish, all my baggage, everything about me that he wouldn't like, he's actually take care of it so that we can be in direct connection together. When I know that, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? But thank you. Thank you. And I'm going to express with gratitude my thanks to him with my words, with our worship, and with my actions. Hey. The Christmas story begins to affect our life, and we live a life when we've received this story as our own with gratitude. Why? Because it's absolutely incredible and undeserved grace that God would want to hang out with you and with me. Isn't it undeserved?
Yeah.
Like there's nothing attractive about our lives for the King of the universe to go, I want to hang with you and chill with you because my social credit will go up.
Yeah.
But he goes, I'm coming down into your world.
Yeah.
Undeserved grace. Received with gratitude. Secondly, we'd live with a sense of value. As I mentioned before, if Harry and Megan were living next door, our social credit goes up. Our value of who we are, just social standing, increases. How much more knowing that God has loved and accepted you, that he lives with you. How much more? And so I begin to choose a new way to look at life, because that's not how humanity looks at life. We generally see ourselves as everything but loved and accepted. Is that right? We're finding all the rubbish of our lives, and so we begin to live with guilt and shame and insecurity. We begin to feel that we're worthless and have no value at all. And yet, if the Christmas story is true, and I believe it to be true, I choose a new lens.
Yeah.
That God actually communicates value on my life.
Yeah.
On my life. What a way to live.
Yeah.
That sounds like freedom. And that is not just a, hey, presto, there's a new lens to life. I've actually got to practice that lens and say, God, thank you that you put value on my life, that you love me, that you accept me. I choose a new lens to life. And we'd live a new way. We'd live a different way. If royalty were next door, you'd live different. Keeping up appearances, looking like you had life together. I am so grateful that God does not have that expectation on me or you. That is not the God that sent his son into the world. Keep up appearances, live perfect, I'll hang out with you. That is not the story of Christmas. That is not the story of God. And I told you I'd refer back to the king and his kingdom in Isaiah. There's a new king that's come to the earth. And Isaiah used some language there, but basically what he was saying is that there is a king who has a throne. That throne is good. The reign is good. He will do good to the planet with bringing peace, and it will be forever and ever. What a cool story that is. But what would that look like with Jesus the King coming to earth? Is he going to invade countries and use weapons and force for his kingdom to be established on earth? Let's just paint another picture, and I like to use my imagination because we don't live in an era where there's kings and kingdoms, where there's a king who sits on a literal throne, who rules over a patch of land and a bunch of people, and that's a king and his kingdom. But let's begin to imagine that, and I just invite you to actually use your imagination now and to picture a king on a throne. And I'm not talking about the heavens. I'm not talking about picturing God on his throne. That's just really hard work for me. I'm talking about a physical, here on planet Earth, king sitting on a throne. Just try to imagine that. And I'm picturing we're in a massive big palace. And this thing is a cathedral size. And the pillars are going all the way up. And there's just hundreds of people in this place. And there's music and there's noise and there's laughter and there's just sound. And there's the king on his throne and you're looking at the king. And as there always seems to be, at least on the movies anywhere, there's always a space in front of the king. And you're looking at that space and there's someone kneeling in front of the king. And you're wondering why. Why would that person kneel in front of the king? Maybe it's out of fear. Because the king has power and authority. Maybe they're fearing for their safety. Maybe they're begging for their life. Maybe they're asking for a favor for themselves or for someone else. But this person is not kneeling in front of the king because he's in fear. Because he has to subject himself to the rule of this king. This person has willingly chosen to kneel in front of the king, to submit to this king who's a good king. That's us. That's the story of us. God never comes in using his authority to just go, you will be subjected to me, kneel. He asks for willing subjects who says, I know the story of Christmas of you coming into my life and transforming this place here. And so I want to live different because I want to live your ways. I want to honor your name.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool? That's how we begin to live life. to honour the King, to live his ways, to honour his name. That's the story of us in Christmas. How will the kingdom of God on earth come? It's that when you and me actually just willingly choose to actually say there's a new king and there's a new way to do life. There's a new way to do life. And we say, I want to live that way because you've been so good to me. You're so good to me. I want to choose to live a new way in life. And I want to illustrate this as I come to a conclusion. Just in one very specific way, because there's another layer to this story, and it's the contrast of the king who came as a baby and the incredible humility of Jesus Christ in the Christmas story. And so if you take the two pictures, there's a king who has power and strength and authority, and there's a baby who's defenseless and helpless and weak and mortal. And Jesus chose to enter the world that way. Can't get more opposite than that, the humility of Jesus Christ. And that story actually continues throughout his life, where the king actually comes riding into his kingdom on a donkey. The king is actually nailed to a wooden cross. The king is dead in a grave. The humility of Jesus Christ to come as a baby, and as Pastor Chris said this morning too, instead of going to visit the king of the day, to actually bypass and go and visit the lowly. If you were tasked with bringing the entrance of the King of Kings into planet Earth, you'd go for something a whole lot different, is that right? You would begin with a Facebook post for sure. There would be likes and shares around the globe. And then there would be lightning, very, very frightening. There would be lightning bolts and thunder. There would be cue lights, stage right as Jesus walked out. And I'm like, nah, that's not good enough. Jesus would come down from heaven and he would just descend and he would float down, not even needing a hoverboard. And there would be the angels singing. And as he came down, he would throw out fluffy toys to the children and DVDs to the adults. It's not a bad story. You picture the King of Kings coming in greatness, and he comes as a baby because he's actually trying to communicate something to his people, his willing subjects, his followers, who would say, this is who I am, this is who we're to be on planet Earth. People who live with humility. And so I found this. I think the image is coming. It was from Shane Willard. I love following Shane Willard on Facebook. And he just posts these images. And every phrase, every message that he has in a couple of sentences, man, just like, oh, I need time to think this one through. And it challenges me in how I'm doing life with Jesus Christ. Now, this one came up and I haven't been able to shake it. And it's not talking about the birth of Christ, but it's talking about the humility of Jesus Christ, where the cross was a new manifestation of the way to do life. But I can't get the next phrase out of my head where it says, the most loving person acts first to end hostility. And I've been looking at my own life, challenged by that. And I don't like it. I don't like it. Because I'm not always the one who ends hostilities first, which clearly means I'm not the most loving in that relationship right there.
Yeah, wow.
And I'm challenged because I don't want to end hostilities, because I feel justified to hold an offense against somebody. And I don't like doing it. I don't want to do it. But I'm challenged that there's a new way to do life.
Yeah.
There's a new way to do life. And so I want to challenge you as we come to Christmas. Christmas is a time of family, and I love my family. Nothing gives me greater joy than my family. And we spent some time together last weekend. We will over Christmas, and I'm so looking forward to that. But I know there's people in the room that's not your story. And I'm not here to poke your pain. I'm here to say, hey, life does that. But I want to challenge you. Maybe there's an act of humility that God's calling you to, challenging you to be the one that ends hostilities first, because that's who Jesus Christ is. Imagine if he hadn't ended hostilities with us. Imagine if he held everything against us, where we'd be. And maybe there's a relationship you're thinking of right now. Maybe it's family, maybe it's even a workmate. And I'm not saying you even need to go and reconcile with them. Maybe you do, but maybe it's just a change in here. I'm just going to end hostilities in my heart towards that person, and I'm going to start to treat them differently, because there's a new way of living, and it's a good way of living, hey? Can I ask everybody to stand, please, as I pray? Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for the Christmas story, that you would come into planet Earth to live with people, and that you now live not in flesh and blood, but you live with us. Your presence is right here, right now. And every moment, no matter where we walk from this building, your presence goes with us. You are with us. You live with people. You are living in the neighborhood of our lives, God. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for that. Thank you, there's a new way to live, Jesus. Help us. And I just pray for those who are challenged now to end hostilities. God, that your grace would rest on them, because it challenges our human way of doing life. God, that you would grace them to live differently. God, empower them to live a new way of living. And just while our eyes are closed, maybe there's some people that you've actually never made this story yours. You've heard the Christmas story, maybe, but you have never said, I want that Christmas story, the story of Jesus Christ, to be the story of my life. It's a great story, and I want to invite you into it tonight. And it's just a moment where you say, yes, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want you to be part of the story of my life. I want to be part of your story. How cool is that? And if that's you, I'd just invite you to raise your hand while all eyes are closed. Just to raise your hand, and I'll acknowledge it, and just say, I want to be part of the story of Jesus Christ. This is your moment. This is your moment. Don't miss the moment. Walk into the story of Christmas tonight, the story of Jesus. As we do, we pray this prayer together, and you can open your eyes, and we're going to pray this together as a church family. If you didn't raise your hand but you want to, this is your moment where you can just, in the genuineness of your heart, just mean what we're praying to enter the story of Jesus. Let's pray together. Here we go. Dear Jesus, come into my life.
After me. Dear Jesus,
thank you, Michael.
I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life, and I'll follow you.
Amen.